Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel Passaic Clifton. Hope all is well. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua insights for the Daf Shir. Today's Shir is first of all dedicated to Eli Nishmas Avram Shaul ben Shulamit Salma, father of Erez Naphtali. And the words of Torah should be an Eloi for his Neshama. Today's Daf is Daf Chaf Gimel in Meseches Chagiga, and the topic of the Shir is staying safe, a response to the Tzedukim. Now, of course, being in the middle of the COVID crisis, which hopefully Be'ezus Hashem will continue to dissipate and eventually we get back to what we would call regular life, Be'ezus Hashem, we've all heard about different directives, different measures as far as staying safe and keeping what is precious to us protected. Of course, one of the most precious things to us as a Jewish people is our Torah and, of course, our Mesorah, our tradition. Pirkei Avos, which we begin studying between Pesach and Shavuos, is introduced with the first Mishnah delineating our Mesorah, starting all the way from Moshe Kibel Torah Sinai, going all the way down. I once heard somebody explain that the Mesorah, you know, that Mishnah, is actually an incomplete Mishnah. And what's going to happen at the end of, by the time of Yemos HaMashiach, that Mishnah is going to be continued with the names of all the great leaders, stretching from our Rishonim, and our Achronim, even through today, people who continue to disseminate the Mesorah. Being that the Mesorah is such a very important topic, when there are threats to our Mesorah, our Chacham teach us that we have to act to counter those threats. On Daf Chaf Gimel, we are brought in tangentially to a threat to the Mesorah that our Chachamim faced, something which the Chachamim needed to act and to do something strict and strong in order to protect it. And it was even a little counterintuitive, something that we might not have thought. But what's important is to realize is that being part of our beliefs, and part of our beliefs in Mesorah is having something called Emunas Chachamim. And realizing that those who are given the authority to make decisions like this, and they were given it through their years of Limud HaTorah and through their acquisition of Yiras Shamayim and humility and stellar midos, they are able to come and make a difficult decision and sometimes a controversial decision as far as what to do to protect our Mesorah, even if that decision is sometimes counterintuitive. As the Rashi says in Parashas Shoftim, it says that even if, I'll just paraphrase the Rashi, even if what you think is small and they say is Yamin, or they say is Yamin, you say is small, you follow what they say because they have extra insight. Now, tangentially, our Mishnah happens, or our Gemara happens to be speaking about, or I shouldn't say tangentially, our Gemara happens to be speaking about the case of Kalim Hanigmarim Bitahara. If you have a kli that was completed and it was formed, and the person who was forming the kli was tahar, nonetheless, if somebody wants to use the kli that was formed in tahara by somebody who's tahar and made sure that nothing touched it, so we say nonetheless it's tzrich in tefillah lakodesh v'lo l'truma. It needs to be dipped in the mikvah if you want to use it to have it come in contact with karbanos. As far as truma, we don't need it. And the Gemara gave an ukimta as to what we're dealing with, and we said that the whole case is speaking about as a chaver, somebody who accepted upon himself to be stringent in the laws of tumah and tahara, to the point where he's makbid also on kachim. So this chaver is completing the kli. It happened to be that an ama aretz, somebody who we know is of course not makbid on tumah and tahara, came in contact with the kli with one of his bodily fluids. The Gemara gives the example of tzinur, which we translate as roke or saliva, and somehow it got on the kli before the kli was formed. And when the kli was formed, the kli was still a little bit moist with the bodily fluid. So in that case, that's the situation that we're dealing with. Happens to be that the Gemara, at least the Gemara, tries to fit this Mishnah in with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And the discussion with Rabbi Eliezer, and consequently Rabbi Yehoshua, has to do with an aspect in Paraduma. Agav, the Gemara does fit in that the Mishnah works according to Eliezer too, but I wanted to focus on the aspect mentioned in the Mishnah itself, and that is, I'll read a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and it's towards the bottom third of, approximately 16 lines up, the bottom third of the Amud, it says, Disnan, Shoferes Shechorcha Lechatas, if somebody had cut a tube, or a little pipe, to use in the production of the Mechatas, the water to be used for Paraduma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yitbol Miyad, the Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yitmav Achar Yitbol, that we should make the Kli Tame, and then we're tovel it afterwards, something which was going to be used in the service of the Para Aduma. And the Gemara, skipping down a little bit to four lines from the bottom, brings a quote to the reason of this. It says, Disnan, Mitamin hayu esakoin asori fesapara, mechot lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim. What they used to do is they would actually make the Kohen who was burning the para to prepare the ashes to be used in the production of this Mei Para Aduma to help people tahar, they used to make him tummy. And why did they do it? Lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim, to take it out of the heart of the tzedukim, in other words, to counter their opinion in a very, very strong way, to make a pronounced rejection of the tzedukim opinion. Sheyomrim, that the tzedukim used to say, b'ma'orave shemesh ha'isanases, that it was done and it was made with people who were Ma'orave Shemesh. Before we do that and discuss this, let's see what that exactly means. So what is Ma'orave Shemesh? So we know that there are certain types of tumah that a person has. And very often, as we mentioned in yesterday's parsha, Parshas Metzora, we have this phrase that comes up in the parsha, V'chibes v'gadav v'rachatz v'sarov v'tamei ha'arev, that many types of tumahs that we have, a person needs to go to the mikvah. Sometimes they need to bring a korban also, but that's a different type of tumah. Many of the korban tumahs that we have, many of the tumahs that we have, a person has to go to the mikvah. What happens is they go to the mikvah, and then it says, V'tomei ha'arev, you need something called Harav Shemesh. You need for the sun to set. And once the sun sets, so then a person is able to become tahar again. Person who does not become, a person from the time that they are, at the time that they are going into the mikvah, to the time where the sun sets, they are something called, what we would call, a tevul yom. A tevul yom is somebody who was tovel on that particular day, and when that person on that particular day, and this tevul yom does have a certain degree of tumah for that particular day. So what happened? So the tzedukim, and those are a group of Jews who did not believe in Torah Shabbat Baal Peh, they only believe in Torah Shabbat Sav, believe that they looked at the psukim of Parah Aduma, and the pasuk by Parah Aduma says, "V'hiza hatar alatami," the one who is completely tahar will sprinkle the water with the ashes of the Parah Aduma on it, and that would make that person pure again. So what the tzedukim said was, hey, the pasuk says, a tahar, somebody who is completely pure, which means that they had to go and make sure that the person, the Kohenim, was involved in preparing the Parah Aduma, was completely tahar, completely pure. Chazal tell us that's not the pshat. Because the pasuk before this one says, V'lakach izo v'taval b'mayim ish tahar v'hiza. We already spoke about a person who is tahar. Right? Pasuk Yedches, the one that I just quoted a second ago, that speaks about that we person already is tar. So then why in Pasuk Yedches does have to say V'hizah hatar alat tami? We would know that that person is tar. Rather, what this is telling you is that he doesn't have to be completely tar that has Harif Shemesh, but rather what he needs to do is he has to be, as long as he's gone to the mikvah, and even if he remains a tevul yom, even if he remains a tevul yom, he's able to serve and do the Parah Aduma at that particular case. So what did the Chazal tell us to do? In the times of Bayesheni, where the tzedukim were rampant, it was a huge, huge spiritual machla that was infecting the Jewish people. So Chazal went up there and made the safeguard to keep Torah Shebaal Peh safe. And what they said was, is that we're going to be Metame the Kohen and Metame these Kalim in order that it should be considered to be a teful yom, and then prepare the Parah Aduma, and that would dispel any notion that the tzedukim opinion is valid. Just to show how seriously they took it, There's a machlokas rishonim as to how they were, or seemingly machlokas rishonim, as to how they were mitami this particular coin. Rashi and the Rambam as well tell us. Rambam Perish Mishnayos tell, and Rashi Mes Perish Mishnayos also be in, I believe, the Yad Chazaka too, but I saw it quoted in the name of the Rambam. Rashi tells us what they used to do is, and I'll read the Rashi, it says, Nogin Hayu Bo Sheretz. Rashi says they used to have the person touch a Sheretz. When somebody touches a Sheretz, they automatically become Tami Midaraisa. And Rashi says that what they would do is they would mitami the person with the Tumah D'Oraisa. Now Tosfos, the Bam Tosfos on, I'm sorry, the second Bam Tosfos on Daf Chav Gimel, brings down Rashi's opinion, but then says something else. It says, Ach b'tosefta lo mashmali, rak b'maga atzma l'chud, is that they had the Kohen be touched by a person who was not tahar for kachim. And in that case, that would make that person tomei through one of the milas that we mentioned at the end of the second parak. It says, V'chitani b'tosefta, kozayinoyim hayu achim ha-kohanim regilim lifroshimino. That all 7 days that they were preparing, that the Kohen was preparing for the Paraduma, and he was sequestering himself, everybody left him alone. Uva yom hashmini, and on the 8th day, when he was about to do it, hayu nogim bo mitamin oso. V'chozrin ha-mapilin oso, and then they would go and dip him in the mikvah. V'nasis tivul yom. V'zelish sonat tosefta, and this is the lotion of the tosefta. I want you to listen to this extreme, and listen to how seriously they were. It says, Maisa bitstuki ha-kohen shabikesh lisrof esapara. There was a particular Tzduki Kohen who wanted to burn the Paraduma and to carry out the service in the Tzduki way in order to show that their way is a legitimate approach. And he wanted to burn it as somebody was more of Shemesh. He was very, very makpid on being Mitar himself. So look what happens. V'shamar ben Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Nasi, the one who risked his life to save the Jews, sneaking out of the city to speak to Vespasian, the one who founded Yavne, the one who made all those takanos, Zecher and the Mikdash, one of our greatest leaders in the transition time between the Churban and post-Churban, one who could be single-handedly credited for keeping Klal Yisrael alive. What does he do? V'samach yadav alav. Puts his hand on his shoulder, almost to say what we would say today, give him a pat on the back. V'yamalo, when he says to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, the Kohen Gadol, how great it is to be a Kohen Gadol. And what happened? Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't tahar for kachim. And what did he do? Patted him on the back, gave him a great compliment, and made him tummy. And what happened? What he had to do? Yarv v'tavol, he had to go down to the mikvah, and so on. So you see, you have Tosos' version that says that it was a tumah derabanan. So you have Rashi, which says that it was a Tumah D'Oraisa. You have Tosfos, which says it was a Tumah D'Rabbanan. You could be that there is a machlokas about whether we went that extreme to be mitami somebody on a D'Oraisa level or a D'Rabbanan level. But I saw it brought down in the name of the Sefer, Gvura Sa'ari. It's brought down on the back of the Masifta. And the Gvura Sa'ari gives a hypothesis, which is possible, that says that really Rashi and Tosfos may not be arguing. But what happened is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did what he did because that was the situation they were in. Maybe even according to Tosfos, who quotes the Tosefta, might himself hold that really you could be mitami with the Sheretz, and it could be mitami with the Tumah D'Oraisa because that's how strict we are. However, we're also so strict to make sure that this doesn't happen, that the Stukim do what they're supposed to do. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai worked right away and did what he could to be mitami him automatically, at least get some type of Tumah in there to make him some type of a Tful Yom, either a Tful Yom from a Tumah D'Oraisa or a Tful Yom for a Tumah D'Rabbanan. But either way, the idea was, is that we wanted to make sure to preserve the integrity of the Mesorah. And the Shaul Meshev, or Shaul Nathanson, that's all, one of the great poskim in the, I believe it was the 1800s, asks the question basically, and says this is so counterintuitive to what we do as far as Tumah and Tahara is concerned. We know that Para Aduma is the most sensitive thing to Tumah. Completely the most sensitive thing to Tumah. It's even more sensitive to Tumah and more susceptible to Tumah than Kachim. Why is it that we would go ahead and seemingly, in this particular case, play around with the rules? I would say Adarabba. Do even more than the Tzdukim. Why would we go ahead and do this to dispel the Tzedukim? It's almost like we're breaking every single foundation that we have as far as safeguarding the laws of Parah Aduma and Tahara. And it's brought down in his name that he says, this is exactly the point, is because when we have a tzorech, when we have a need, there is no iser. In other words, when a person is faced with a potentially dangerous situation, and Chazal basically consider this to be a spiritual pikuach nefesh, when that is facing us, there is no such a thing as tumas kohanim, that a tful yom should be doing this. We never have a tful yom doing any karbon in the base of the mikdash. We have a tful yom do the parah aduma. That's the dafka what Shaul Mishnah says happened over here, is that we were so careful to safeguard ourselves that we would for sure do this and do it in a way to make sure that the integrity of Mesorah is not jeopardized. And I happen to see, and Sifta brought down on the back, a very interesting little piece quoted by the Marie Albert Saloni, one of the Rishonim, who mentioned two prevalent minhagim that we have on Shabbos that are there to counter the Tzedukim. Of course, we know that Tzedukim, one of the most famous examples of what the Tzedukim did, and again, we're seeing again how what we're doing to counter the Tzedukim is that the Tzedukim believe that the pasuk lo sivaru eish b'chol moshoseichem b'yom ha-Shabbos, that one person should not have a fire burning in your dwellings the entire Shabbos, is taken literally. And basically, they would sit in the dark and they would not have any type of heat or use any type of heat on Shabbos. Which is why the Maria Barcelloni says, in order this, to make sure this, he writes, Kol she'eino ochel chamin b'Shabbos, somebody does not eat hot food on Shabbos, bar niduyehu, he is worthy of cherem b'derech minus yishbo, v'tzarech lahafrisho b'kahal Yisrael. And we have to remove them from Klal Yisrael. And this is, of course, where the minog is to have something hot on Shabbos, a hot food for your Shabbos suit in the morning. And that's where the minog Yisrael comes in to have cholent. Because again, the reason why you can't reheat something on Shabbos or to be matmin something on Shabbos is because we're afraid of Shema Yechata. There's no Isser Daraisa to do hatmana, even on Erev Shabbos, with something which is Moset Hevel. So in order to counter this, we made sure that people go ahead and have this particular hot food. Now it happens to be interesting, because what happens if a person does not particularly want cholent? Say a person doesn't want it, doesn't like it. I can tell you an honest truth. I know, I'm going now on yutorah.org and ypc.org. Hope it doesn't create a scandal, but for the past couple of weeks, I've kind of been tired of cholent. And my family's kind of been tired of cholent. And yesterday, we had chicken cutlets. And we had some farfel for lunch, for our suit of the afternoon. And we didn't have cholent. Are we going to be considered a tzedukim? I hope they don't consider me to be a tzeduki. Because it's actually brought down the name of the Baal Amor, it's brought down the Ramah, that again, a person only is considered to be a tzeduki if they consider it to be usher, to heat up food. But if a person doesn't want cholent, it doesn't agree with him, he doesn't like it, there's no mitzvah to say, I have to eat cholent because I don't want to be at Stuki. I don't like it. It's going to make me miserable. So I'm going to feel gross when I wake up. That's not why you have cholent. You have cholent to go ahead and take away from the beliefs of that Stuki. And if you want to heat something else up, in fact, we heat up kugel on a blech. We'll have something hot. And we make sure to have something hot on Shabbos to show that we are using it. In fact, my son suggested even that we have our lights on. That already is a counter of the Stuki. And he's true. He's right. So again, what we do is to counteract that Stuki. We do something to positively go against it. That's a minhag that we have right now that shows that even though we don't even have Tzedukim around anymore, we're still concerned about it. But there's another thing that the Reb Barcelloni branches down, and that is the minhag to say Bama Mavikin. Now, we know that in Chutz La'aretz, we have a minhag in Shul during the week to add Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. And one of the reasons we do it is that because there's no Chazaras HaShatz for Ma'ariv, and Ma'ariv would end a little bit earlier. And there were many people in the shuls at that time were not located in the center of the cities, but were located on the outskirts. And we were afraid if somebody comes late and people start to leave, somebody's going to have to walk home alone, which we didn't want to let that happen. So we instituted Baruch HaShem Li'olam Amen V'Amen, which actually has 18 mentions of the Shem HaShem in it, in order to extend the davening. Obviously, we don't do that on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we added seemingly two things. We added the Vayichulu and Mayan Shalosh with the Magen Avos and that bracha and so on to extend the davening. But also Bama Medlikin was added on as well. And there are some shuls that say Bama Medlikin before Kabbalah Shabbos, but if you look in the Siddurim, some actually say it right after Magen Avos. And that's particularly done to prolong the davening to make sure that people leave at the same time. Why did they pick Bama Medlikin? So the rebar, so it's brought down that the reason is because it's Mishnayos that have to do with Meina Yoma, Meina Diyoma. Right? At that point, there's a person who just lit Shabbos candles. So therefore, we're going to speak about Shabbos candles. But the Rebbe Barcelona asks, that reason doesn't seem to fit in so much. Or there's something a little missing with that reason. It might not be complete. It's not enough. Because, you know what? We never go ahead and do this and add Mishnayos in there. Like, for example, on the second night of Pesach, why then don't we go ahead and learn Mishnayos about bringing of the Omer? Why on Rosh Hashanah night do we not learn Mishnayos about Takiya Shofar? Why not on Yom Kippur night do we not learn Mishnayos about the Seder HaAvoda? Okay, you might want to go ahead and say, maybe it has nothing to do with me, don't want to prolong the davening over there, we don't need to prolong the davening, but simply go ahead. Why bedafka this perek? You want to say on Shabbos, we'll do it, so on Shabbos. Go ahead and every week do a different perek. Thought we do it for Pirkei Avos, we rotate Prakim. We wrote, you know, a different parash every week, so do a different perek in Mishnayos. Why bedafka Bama Medlikin? And the Reb Barcelona says something fascinating. It's brought down in the Sefer Ha'itim, and he writes that one of the things that Stukim were against was Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. It's not mentioned in the Torah. And as we said before, the Pasuk of Lotzivaru Eish V'chom Moshoseichem, that has to do with sitting in the dark. So what do? We go ahead and learn a Perek Mishnayos, not only deals with the fact whether you're allowed to light or not, but we show already from time immemorial, not only is there a mitzvah, but we're talking about how to do this mitzvah. And the fact that we have these Mishnayos, this shows to us that these Mishnayos are there and that the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles is a legitimate one. But here's the extreme that some people went. Because it's brought down that they found the following thing in the Geniza. And this is what they used to do. Before Bama Medlikin, they actually used to make a bracha. And here's what the bracha went. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Asher bachar b'chachamim v'talmideihem. You choose the chachamim and their students. V'nosa lehem Torah mehar Sinai yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. And he gave to them Torah from our Sinai through Moshe. V'tziva osam likro b'torah v'mishnu v'talmud b'halacha. Liknos chayei shnei olamim, and Hashem commanded them to learn Torah, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, in order to acquire olam haba, eternal life. Ubachar megarosh rabbeinu mikol hanaviim v'so on, v'chulei. V'acharav bachar b'yoshua v'talmido v'shivim zikenim unaviim v'chacham v'talmideim. V'tziva osam lish b'shmirah Shabbos u'b'halacha sner shel Shabbos. A bracha. Making an entire bracha. Just think about it for a second. Okay, it's not our minhag to make this bracha. We don't make a bracha before Bama Medlikin. But just think about it for a second. There wasn't a time where the situation was so prevalent that the Chazal Institute or Chacham Institute that you say a bracha. Shame Hashem. And they concocted a day, they came up with a nusach bracha, praising Torah Shebaal Peh. Why would we do this? To show that how important it is to safeguard our Masorah. So as we finish this year, let's remind ourselves how lucky we are to continue learning Torah Shebaal Peh, things which, in this parak, are all derabanan, these extra stringencies of Tum and Tahara that we have, and to keep realizing how important it is to safeguard our Masorah, that even though we might not have Stukim today, but again, it's our Masorah which keeps us going forward. And from times of Moshe Rabbeinu, through Zman Bias Kol Tzedek, and further. Kol Tov, have a wonderful day, and stay well.